This particular message is being preached at the beginning of December. And I'm sharing this for those who are listening, because sometimes folks don't know the date of a sermon when they're hearing it. What that means is, you know, here we are in December, first part of December, we're closing out another year. One of the things that a lot of people deal with has to do with this thing of, you know, like New Year's resolutions and all that, which, you know, if that's you, okay, well, have at it, but I don't know. I've never been one to do that. To me, generally speaking, it's like a formula for failure, discouragement, disappointment, etc., and so forth. But at the same time, you know, we are headed into a new year, and, you know, January 1st, it just seems like a kind of a milestone, and people look at it very often as a time of a like a new beginning and what have you. And so, okay, you know what? Then we can do it that way. You know, anyway, I'd like you to first open to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, giving you a moment to find that, those of you here, those of you watching, because I want you to see these. You know, a lot of times folks, they're in a service and, you know, they hear, turn to such and such. I mean, they just sit there. And, you know, I'm not sure why you wouldn't want to look it up. I mean, nevertheless, 1 Timothy chapter 3, look here in verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, bishop, this is not a ministry calling. And I don't care how you work it out, it's not a ministry calling. A bishop would be like, well, it's an appointed position, kind of like a manager or a, you know, an administrator or something like that. A good example would be like your Sunday school director. You know, that person would be like a bishop. But a bishop is not a ministry calling, even though certain religions, denominations, whatever you want to call them, have esteemed that title into something that it's not. Scripturally speaking, it is not a ministry calling. But yet we see, if somebody desires the office of a bishop, then that person is desiring a good work. So, and we're not going to get into, you know, well, what does a bishop do and all that. You know, the point I want to make is we have somebody who wants to do something. So the image is there's somebody and they think, well, you know what? I'd really like to be a bishop. And God, through his word, is saying, well, then that person desires a good thing. Now, at this point, turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Keeping this in mind, Proverbs chapter 3. And in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Okay, a moment ago we read that if somebody desires the office of a bishop, they desire a good thing. But just because you desire it does not mean that's what you're supposed to be doing. You understand that? So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, is not God saying you should desire the office of a bishop because that's a good thing. No, God is saying, look, if you desire it, that's a good thing. And then he goes on and gives, you know, well, here are the qualifications for a bishop and so forth. But in this passage, we see trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Well, my understanding is I'd like to be a bishop. And he says, yeah, well, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He said, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. So, in my own eyes, I might see myself as being, you know, a bishop. I want to be a bishop. I want to be a this, I want to be a that. But yet, if I'm trusting in the Lord, there's a good chance he might kind of deal with me about, I don't think you should be a bishop. You need to trust me. In all your ways, acknowledge me, let me direct your paths. And if he thinks that I should be a bishop and serve in that capacity, well, then he'll begin to minister to me along those lines. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's so much that we could read, a tremendous analogy about the human body and the body of Christ, but I'm just going to read a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. It says, "For as the body, human body, is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that body, of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ." In other words, you have a body, and that body is made up of fingers and toes and elbows and hands and shoulders and so on and so forth. But it's still one body. And in verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." So, using that analogy, we're the body of Christ, but we could be fingers, toes, elbows, hands, ears, eyes, you know, whatever. Now, we are members in particular of the body of Christ. But as we look at it in a more focused perspective, if we're members of the body of Christ, and God has said, "Okay, I want you to be in such and such church. This is what, where I want you to attend." And you're in that church, that means you're a member of that church. So not only are you a member of the body of Christ, but as a member of the body of Christ, you're serving or you're attending a particular church. And what that means is, within the structure of that church, you know, many times we refer to a church as, you know, like the church body. Well, within that that structure, within that order, it means that you as a member of the local church have a purpose, a role, a something to do. Now, you know, here at this church, we do not have what you would call formal membership. A lot of churches, you have to fill out a membership card and things like that. Well, we don't do that because the perspective here is, if you believe that God has told you to attend this church, that means more than any card you could fill out. You are a member of this church if you believe that God has told you to attend here. All right, now, we started out, we saw a passage where it said, if a person desires to be a bishop, meaning that person is a part of a local church, and because that person is a part of a local church, they have a desire to be a bishop and serve in that local church. In other words, here I am, I'm a Christian, and, you know, man, I love the Lord and so forth, and I'm here in this church. Well, you know what? I'm going to do something. I desire to be a bishop and to help out here in this church in that capacity. So then the question would be, is that person supposed to be a bishop? But to broaden the scope of this, for every single church, and we just happen to be here in this one, what is your role? Not so much what are you doing, but what do you desire? Do you understand what I'm getting at? Because you see, you have a lot of Christians, they're at this level of complacency. It's not that they're a backslider or a sinner or anything like that, but I mean, they really don't have a desire to do anything. You know, they want to attend. They're nice. They're friendly. Love everybody. I mean, you know, they're great people. But they just don't have a desire to do anything. Well, if we use the analogy of the human body, you know, what if my hand just suddenly decided, you know what, I'm tired of all this. I don't want to do anything. It's like, no, come on, hand, you got to do something. Yeah, well, I don't want to. And so here's my hand. My hand doesn't want to do anything. But it's supposed to do something because it is a member of my body. So it has a responsibility. My hand cannot be a foot. You understand? You know, it's like, wow, I never thought of that, Brother Martin. No, my hand can't be a foot. My foot can't be a hand. All right? We know that. In other words, my hand needs to be content in doing what it does. Because my hand can do things my foot can't do. All right. Knowing all of this and understanding it, on your paper, write the following. If I could do anything for God, I would fill in the blank. If I could do anything for God, I would, and what would you write? What would you do? Because it's not simply a matter of doing something for God, it's also something, it's a matter of doing something like, you know, here is part of this church. But if I could do anything for God, I would, and just what would you do for God? And I want you to think about that for a moment. And those of you who are listening to this, these extended silent spots that everybody's experiencing here live, I will be editing those out on the final recording, so you'll need to pause the recording, or the playback, and, you know, write these things down and answer them and so forth. But this first one, if I could do anything for God, I would, and then what would it be? Well, I don't know, Brother Martin. Okay, well, do you have any ambition at all to do anything for God? Well, if I could do anything for God, I would, and I'm not going to say anything, because if I say something, okay, if I could do anything for God, I would be a dog walker. Okay, now the reason I'm saying that is because I don't think anybody in here wants to be a dog walker. But I'm trying to help you understand. It's what you would want to do for God. And I don't want to give you any ideas. I don't want you to hear me say something and think, oh yeah, that sounds good. Think I'll write that down. No. I want you to come up with this. If I could do anything for God, I would, and then, you know, you write it down. Now, as we go through this tonight, and there are more of these, some of them, I don't think you're going to have all the responses tonight. But you will have the question or the statement written down so that you can focus on it after the service tonight, like later on. Okay, the next one. It's very similar to the one I just read. If I could do anything here at this church, I would. If I could do anything here at this church, I would. Now, you may already be doing something. I don't know. Maybe you're not. I don't know. Oh, by the way, you're not going to pass these into me. Okay, this is for you. If I could do anything here at this church, I would. And then you write it down. Now, this next one. It applies to both. If I could do anything for God, I would. And if I could do anything here at this church, I would. This is why I want to do that. This is why I want to do that. The thing that you wrote down that you would do for God, and the thing that you wrote down that you would do here at this church. This is why I want to do that. Why do you want to do it? Well, it sounds like fun. Okay. And that's not a bad answer. But why do you want to do that? What is your response? And don't try to super spiritualize any of this. Like, oh, God, give me the right answer. This is not a test. You'll understand by the time we're finished tonight. But this is why I want to do that. Now the next one, again, it's relative to both of these. So again, you probably come up with maybe a couple of answers, but here is what qualifies me to do that. The thing that you wrote down that you'd like to do for God and the thing that you wrote down that you'd like to do here at this church, here is what qualifies me to do that. So why are you qualified to do what you said you'd like to do for God? And why are you qualified to do what you would like to do here at this church? Why are you qualified? And again, I'm not going to, you know, say much beyond that because I want this to come from you. I don't want what I say to become your answer. So you think about why you're qualified to do what it is that you've written. Now, the next one. And again, if you're not finished, answering these, that's okay. You know, answer them later on. Finish your answers later on. The next one is this. Does God want you doing that? Whatever it is that you wrote down that you'd like to do for God, or whatever it is that you wrote that you'd like to do here at this church, does God want you doing that? You know, the Apostle Paul wanted to go into Asia, Bithynia. He wanted to preach the gospel. It was a good thing. He was qualified, all of that. But the Holy Spirit said no, wouldn't let him. And so he didn't do anything until he got clear direction from God what he was supposed to do. Was going into Asia to preach the gospel a good thing? Well, absolutely it was. But it's not what God wanted then. Now, later on, he did go into Asia. Scripture bears that out. I want to be a bishop. Okay, well, but does God want you to be a bishop? I want to do this for God, but does God want you to? I want to do this here at the church. Well, okay, but does God want you doing that? So I really don't know, Brother Martin. Well, that's okay, because it's something that you can pray about. It's something that you can pursue God about to find out if this is a desire that he has placed in your heart, or if it's just something that you have decided you want or would be a good thing. Well, moving on to this next part, I want you to think about what has transpired over the past year. Now, I realize we still have, you know, about 3 more weeks to go in this year, but think about this past year. What was the biggest change in your life this past year? What was the biggest change in your life this past year? Now, some people might write something that's not very spiritual. Well, okay. It's how you see it. How do you perceive your life, and what do you believe, what do you see was the biggest change in your life this past year? Well, I finally lost some weight. Well, praise God. That may indeed be, as you perceive it, the biggest change that took place in your life. I just don't know how many people here tonight could answer that way. But what is the biggest change in your life this past year? Now, this next one, maybe you know and maybe you don't. I'm not sure. But, well, let me back up a moment. What was the biggest change in your life this past year? You know, you might be thinking about 2 or 3 or 4 things, and that's okay. You go ahead and put all 2, 3, or 4. If there were that many, like, really big things that happened in your life, you know, it's all right. Go ahead and write those down. It doesn't have to be just one. But the next one here. What five things would you like to see take place in your life next year? What five things would you like to see take place in your life next year? And I'll read that one more time. What five things would you like to see take place in your life next year? Now, I don't expect that anybody right at this moment is going to, well, some people might come up with five things. You might have to really think about this. But what five things would you like to see take place in your life next year? Now, these five things that you write down, this is something for you to pray about, because you need to be sure these are five things God wants to happen. Five things that He wants to have take place in your life. And it could be that He's in total agreement with you, but then again, if you spend time in prayer with Him, it's very possible He might say, okay, numbers 1, 3, and 4, yes. Number 2 and 5, we need to bump those down to numbers 9 and 10, because I've got some of my own for you. But what five things would you like to see take place in your life next year? And as you write these down, you know, you may come up with more than five. But the focus just at the moment is going to be five. And you don't have to come up with all five right now. That's okay. And one more. One more. What does God want you to focus on next year? What does God want you to focus on next year? And I don't know how to, you know, answer that one for you, because this is something that's totally up to you and what God wants you to focus on. It could be all kinds of things. I don't know. And again, I don't want to start throwing things out, because I don't want somebody to say, oh yeah, that sounds like a good thing God would want me to focus on. No. If you don't already know, and I'm guessing that maybe none of us know at this moment, then this is something to pray about, to find out, you know, God, what do you want me to focus on next year? He may give you one thing. He may give you two or three things, four things. I don't know. But I do know this. Whatever it is that God says, I want you focusing on such and such next year, it's because He knows that not only can you focus on it, but you can achieve whatever it means. Is it something personal, something spiritual, something this, something that? He's not going to tell you focus on this knowing ahead of time. There's just no way. You could never do it. No, He's going to tell you to focus on whatever it is He knows you're capable of doing at this point in your life. Now, on all of these things that you've written, you know, what would I do for God and here at this church, and why do I want to do that? What qualifies me, and so forth? All these things that you've written down. What we're doing here is setting the course for next year. For each person, each one of you. But here's what's interesting. As you begin developing this, it's not going to impact only you. It's going to impact this entire congregation, some way, somehow. Because you are a member of the body of Christ, but you're also a member of this local fellowship. So therefore, whatever God works out in your life as it pertains to these things, It is going to be to your benefit personally, absolutely. But yet it's also going to fit into the overall scheme of what he's doing here at this church, because all of the good that takes place in your life is something we benefit from when it comes to achieving everything God wants done in the ministry. You know, somebody might say, well, I'll tell you what, if I could do anything for God, I'd give $1 million to this church. Okay, thank you. That's greatly appreciated. But is that realistic? Well, God can do anything. Don't get all spiritual on me here, okay? I'm serious, is that realistic? Well, theoretically, yes, it is. But is that something that God is wanting you to do? In other words, is that a priority in your life that God has established? Or another way to say that is there nothing else more important in your life than giving $1 million to the church? This is where we have to go to God and talk to him about that. I mean, it's back in my office tonight, and I'm looking at this, and it's like, well, God, what about me? And I've got to focus more on these for myself, too. Because, you see, ultimately, as God begins moving on us in these areas, and it begins to impact this ministry, then we as a body are functioning together to bring about his will here, whatever that means. However he wants to do that through us. And so we're able then to accomplish these things. But along with that, this helps us to develop better focus in our walk with God. You know, we hear a lot of messages about, I don't really know who all you listen to. But you from here at this church, we've heard messages about, you know, holiness and the will of God, so on and so forth. And all of these things are right and true. But sometimes we forget about the practical aspects of life. And okay, I'm not even going to look it up, okay? But there's a verse where Paul is writing, and he's telling, he's either writing to Titus or Timothy, and he's saying, tell so-and-so when they come, you know, to visit me, or like when you come to see me, you know, bring the cloak, bring the coat, bring my sweater, my jacket that I left at such and such. I mean, that seems like, why are you writing that in there? This is supposed to be raise the dead and walk on water stuff. And you want your jacket? I mean, come on. Practical. You see what I'm getting at? Because when you go through and you read scripture, every now and then you see things like that. And it's God trying to get a message across to us. How can I say this without sounding like a heretic? Everything doesn't have to be spiritual. Do you understand what I mean? Okay. In Acts, remember it talks about how the people that got born again and they went from house to house breaking bread? Do you think that the only thing they ever talked about was, did you hear the rushing mighty wind? Oh my goodness, no, they would have talked about other things. How are your kids? And boy, I tell you what, I'll be glad when they get that road fixed down over here. They talked about life. Because those are the kind of things that build unity within a local fellowship. It doesn't always have to be about how many verses did you memorize this week? It doesn't always have to be a sermon. We're a family. And sometimes you talk about family things. You know, think about this. When Jesus was ministering to all these people, and he looks at his watch and says, getting late. And the disciples are saying, well, you better send everybody home. And Jesus says, no, I don't think that's going to work, because look at all the people here. Some of them, they haven't eaten. I mean, nobody here has eaten. And some of these folks, they're from so far away that they really won't make it back home. I mean, they could collapse on the way home. You know, we need to help them out somehow. Do you see the practical aspect of that? We want to focus on, he multiplied the fish and the loaves. Oh, hallelujah. But the reason that happened was because there was a practical situation at hand. People were hungry. And so he's ministering to the practical aspect of human life. It just so happens he does it by way of a miracle, which is okay. But you go through and you begin to find these things out. And that's why in this particular list, you know, some of these things may not seem at all spiritual. Okay, let me just give you one that I'm going to make this one up, okay? You know, what does God want you to focus on next year? Well, you know, it's funny you should ask that, Brother Martin. Because lately, I've been feeling like I need to bathe more often. And I'm kind of getting the feeling this once a week stuff's not working. People kind of like look at me weird and hold their nose when they get around me. And so, I don't know, maybe I should start bathing twice a week. Now, how about once a day? You know, how about scrubby, okay? And use soap and deodorant. Okay, that's practical. But if that's something in your life that really needs adjustment, then that's something God may want you to focus on. Think of it this way. You take somebody that they've never had the habit of bathing daily, and now all of a sudden God is saying, look, I can smell you from up in heaven, all right? I want you bathing every day. Do you realize that's going to be a major adjustment for that person? They're used to getting up out of bed and putting the same old stinky clothes on and going about and doing everything and completely oblivious to how rancid they smell. Well, you know, what they need is to start smelling themselves. Whoo-wee, glory. And so for them, they're going to have to rearrange their routine so that they bathe every day and use deodorant. Now see, that's a simple kind of a thing. But to God, for that person, it may be a real priority in life. The person might say, well, God, I don't get it, man. People all over the world stink. You know, what's the deal? Why should I have? And God could come back and say, you know those things that you wrote at the top of this list? If you could do anything for me, you would. And here's what you'd like to do at the church. Well, I can't have you interacting with people at that level when you smell so bad, because they're not going to receive anything you do or say. See that? That's why you don't want to super spiritualize everything. You want to go to God to find out, okay, what do you want me to do here? What is all of this? Well, you know, the five things I want to see take place next year. Number one, I want to walk on water. Number two, I want to go to funeral homes and raise the dead. Number three, I want to be able to multiply the loaves and the fish so I never have to go to the grocery store again. And God's up in heaven just shaking his head saying, no, come on. Get your head out of the clouds, as they say, and get real. Because what we want to do is set the course for this coming year. And it could be, well, just show up to church on time. I mean, I don't know what it would be for you. I don't know. But see, the reason we're doing this now, instead of waiting until January 1st, is because you have between now and January 1st to be praying about it and get more clarity from God concerning these things so that at the beginning of the year, you can begin doing this. And remember, you know, as you're focusing on these things, there's a really good chance that you might mess up along the way every now and then. I'm supposed to be focusing and I'm supposed to be doing. But you know what? When you start making change in your life, it's going to take effort. And that effort requires an adjustment in your mental process as you are looking at these things. Okay, I got to do this, I got to do that, and I got to, you know. So sure, you may mess up here and there along the way. Well, if you do, please, you know, don't whip yourself and don't bang your head against a wall and don't say, well, I ain't never going to church no more because I can't do nothing for nobody. Don't do that. No. It's change. And change takes effort, and sometimes change can be really hard. There may be, you know, as you're praying about this, God might remind you of something that you were supposed to have done 4 years ago, and you didn't do. It's like, oh, yeah. And so, all right, you know what? We pick up, we go forward from there. But I do know this. Whatever God wants you to do, the result is going to be a more spiritually mature you. A more deeper walk in Christ you. A further along in the will of God you. In other words, you can't lose, you can't go wrong, you will only benefit, and you will only make progress. And then, ultimately, it's about His will being done here on the earth in many different ways. The things that you focus on this next year, whatever this is for you, what you don't know, what none of us know, is how success in these areas impact the next year and the year after that. In fact, you could kind of look at these things as laying a foundation for the accomplishment of His will in the future. And again, some of these things, for some people, may be so minor. Just take a bath every day. Use soap. Or it could be something very major. You need to stop such and such habit. You need to change this. But whatever it is, it's going to be for our benefit. It's going to be something we need to do in our lives. And likewise for me, it's not simply about me, but it's also about this ministry. God, what do you want this ministry doing next year? What do you want us to focus on? What things do you want to see change here? If anything, I don't know. But I do know this. When Christians start taking this kind of approach, it really pleases our Father's heart. Because we've almost been trained to just sit back and let God do His thing. Well, it doesn't quite work that way. He needs us doing our part, which enables Him to do His part. But then along with that, you know, the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. Don't be afraid to talk to somebody that you know. Let me say it like this. Your best friend here at this church, whoever that would be. You know, don't be afraid to talk to somebody about some of these things that we've covered here tonight. I'm not saying that you have to. I'm just saying, you know, don't be afraid to. If you think you ought to or you kind of would like to. And then, if you're the person who's hearing this, be supportive. Be supportive. Don't be critical. This is especially true for spouses. You know, spouse goes to spouse and says, you know, this list, and I've been thinking, and I think about, and then the other spouse says, well, that's what I've been trying to get you to do for 10 years. You know, okay, all right, you know, you're not helping anything here. Encourage, okay? Encourage. Support. Be there. I want to see us. When I say us, I mean, you know, you as individuals, and then this ministry as a whole. I want to see us accomplish more for God than we ever have. And the thing is, those accomplishments may end up being so much in the realm of the Spirit, we don't see it in the natural, but it's still there. So what we do then, we talk to God about these things, get direction from Him, trust in Him, and then we take one step at a time in doing whatever it is that He reveals to us we need to be doing. Then at the end of the year, glory to God, we've accomplished something great for the Lord.